Finance Committee together, and I am looking around, and I think we do have a quorum here. And oh yeah, we do definitely have one. So let me just start out by just recording. Just let me just ask. Let me take a breath. I'm exhausted. I was at the polls in like 81 degree to nine, almost 90 degrees for all day yesterday. And we don't have a recording secretary. So Tyler and I are going to take notes, put them together, and get them out to folks. So anyway, I just will note that the members that we have present in the room are myself, Tyler Egner, Bob Mora. And then online, we have Ashley Phelan, Rhea Klein, Amanda Gordon, and then other folks present. I think that we're going to have Jill Collins in person. This will be a real treat. Get to see a smiling face in person bright and early. Jim Rupert just joined here, and he is floating around someplace, and his stuff is on the table over there, I believe. So he will be joining us in person as well. And then on the phone, like I said, we have Rhea Klein as president, Ashley Phelan, Amanda Gordon, and I see also others in port, our now superintendent of schools, David Caruso. He's still smiling. That's good. And I think that is it. We have a couple of folks that I see on as phone numbers. If you are public or whatever, let me know, please. I know there's Jim Lorsch, who's a member of the public. So meeting's called to order. We've identified who's here. Let's do public participation. So is there any members of the public who would like to comment?
I would, Ross, if you don't mind.
Yes, Jill.
I just want to set the story or set it straight that 2 years ago, I was not out for 2 months sick. And in the future, I hope that the board, any board in the town, doesn't talk about my sick time or my time away from the town. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. Any other comments for the public?
I will make one on behalf of Mr. Aramita.
Yes.
I'd still like you to reach out to him, sir.
Yeah.
He believes that the document that the Finance Committee has created is a little bit confusing, and he has some ideas for you to make that a little less confusing, and he would still like to hear from him.
Yeah. Any other members of the public have any comments? Then we will move on to our ongoing business because, as everybody knows, the budget vote failed again last night. It's a closer margin. Let me go and just look up the numbers so I make sure I give them to folks correctly. So the budget failed with 625 no's to 522 yeses. And closer than before. And so that we now have to decide what our next steps would be. So I'd like to take a look and see if there's any discussion on our 2025-2026 revenues and expenditures.
So on that, Jill, question. I know when in the report we got, we had revenue from our savings account through May. It didn't show June, which probably didn't have it yet. My question is, have we recognized that additional revenue yet for June and as far as the numbers we put together?
Well, the interest that came in for the last month was about $35,000.
Okay.
I don't know if that was recognized in the last meeting.
No, that wasn't. No. So that's okay. That's my question.
Where that puts the total for the year right now, because I have.
Well, we had recognized the other one, but we hadn't because we didn't have any information on that. Okay.
Well, I believe was it a 505 that was put
right,
into?
Correct.
All right. So I don't know at time you did that, you were projecting out to the end of the year. So I don't know how much of
there
that
probably could. Would be more, but I'm gonna use a base number.
Yeah.
Right. Reason why I asked that because I'm in a position that we should recognize any revenues that are going to come in when we set the mill rate or set a budget to go forward. But I, you know, in examining where we are, what we've done with the various budgets and where they are today, I mean, our operating budgets have been reduced down to less than, far less than even the inflationary factor that we're dealing with. Any significant cut from here forward is going to impact services on the town side. It's certainly going to impact operations on the school side. We have a new superintendent coming in, and we owe this, the school system, a superintendent, an opportunity to do the renovations or innovations at the property that we've been hoping for. And it doesn't make any sense to try and move forward one hand tied behind his back, if you will, by making any more serious cuts. As far as I'm concerned, if we do anything, I'd reduce by the amount of anticipated revenue, period.
Can I just, thoughts. So for the month of July,
yeah,
you're looking at 2 million getting interest. And for August, you're actually looking at maybe having a cash flow problem for August if we don't start getting some revenue in, because we have our first bond payment, which is $750,000. We have to pay principal and interest on the fire truck loan.
In August, right?
Well, we pay it the very end of July because it's due August.
Right.
And then the middle of August, we have the truck. We have to redo the truck loan. So
right.
We're going to have to put $35,000 down towards principal. We have to pay the interest on that. And then we have to pay off that loan and wait for the money to come back from the bank.
Yeah.
So you might have a cash flow problem. If you go below that $5 million,
we lose it.
Really will be below.
Oh, yeah. We know that.
You're going to
yeah,
pay
we're not,
fees
yeah.
that
pay
we don't.
But that'll be a short period of time, because if we set the mill rate, as we've written, your revenues will begin coming in like in 2 weeks, two to three
right.
weeks.
But I've done, well, your biggest one is your banks.
Right.
They
those will come in right
end.
away.
They come in the very end. I looked at that the other
is
day.
Is that right?
They come in July 30th,
okay.
July 28th.
So
those are the large ones. So you're not going to get that till the end of August.
Yeah, but you will get revenue coming in.
Correct. But I just want
yeah.
you to know that you will get minimal for interest
not, oh,
for
just,
July
yeah.
and
yeah.
probably nothing for August.
Yeah. But that's next year's.
Correct. Correct.
Right.
I just want to just, you know,
yeah, no.
just let you know.
Yeah. So I recognize that. That's
so what
that's
numbers
what
do
you
I have to recognize, if any?
So just a question. If we do fall below that trigger mark with the bank, is that, do they make that a 3 month look?
No, it'll
it's
just be
just
for
that
the month.
One period.
But we don't know, seeing that it hasn't happened,
yeah,
we don't know what
that's
the fees
fine.
Are going to be.
As long as it doesn't have a look for
no,
3 months.
No, no, no. It'll just be at month by month basis.
Okay.
So, and I don't know for sure. I mean, it's your decision, but I'm assuming you're going to do a temporary.
Yeah.
Bill rate
well,
there.
Yes.
So, you know,
I think we'll do that when we
out.
Get to that part of
yes.
the, you know, to the discussion.
Right.
But that's good information
yeah.
to have. So, do we have any additional revenues then that we can recognize?
On the town side, do we have anything?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay.
So there's nothing in the way of interest or anything
Board
else.
Ed, no.
We didn't get that.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. We won't know that till October.
Okay.
Excuse me. It's my understanding that the cuts to the Department of Education, I read it, is for Bolton will be $22,000. It's yeah.
What
Did
do you mean?
You hear that, Dave? Because I read, I think on the CT Mirror, that the cuts, the total cuts from the Department of Education, you know, federal, will impact Bolton by $22,000.
Yeah, I did see something like that, and then I also saw that there was a lawsuit from the state of Connecticut on behalf of some districts in Connecticut, as well as some other states. So I'm not sure exactly where that's going to land. So I'm not sure if anything's been officially finalized yet for that.
But the department, the Supreme Court gave the Trump administration the power to close the department, terminate the Department of Education. So I think that's going to.
So there's an unknown.
I don't know if we should anticipate that or.
Yeah, I think the theme is that there's some potential risk. I don't think we're at the point where we could, you know, quantify that exposure at this point, but it kind of supports Bob's sentiments at the beginning of I unless there are significant, you know, program cuts to on the Board of Ed side, I don't know what else really, where else to go.
And these are all the kind of things, and it's the same thing for the Board of Selectmen, that there are things that can be done, some that require work between the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen, some that each department can do independently, but they are not anything that you can do at the wave of a hat. You know, it's all stuff that requires some work over the next year or, you know, over the next few months, next year, next couple of years. Because otherwise it makes a worse mess than you solve by, you know, basically you're shortchanging the future for, you know, a short-term gain. So then if I'm going through by the agenda, it looks like there is no additional revenues or changes to 2025 or 2026 revenues and expenditures. So am I correct on that?
Amanda's got
it. Oh, Amanda, question?
Not really a question, more of a comment of what I am hearing from the public voraciously on social media is that there is this perception that we have made no cuts and they would like to see efficiencies made. And that a lot of what we've been doing in the last few meetings is smoke and mirrors because a lot of it is recognition of revenue. So I was hoping that as part of this conversation of revenue and expenditures, we could discuss the cuts that have been made thus far, because there have been cuts made thus far, as well as a reiteration of the efficiencies that have been made on both the town and Board of Education side in the past few years that have been saving taxpayers money that have allowed us to keep the budget as low as it has been.
So we could certainly go through that.
I can give a good example of one that on the town side, where if you simply look at the expenditure side, it is totally misleading. And that if you look at our buildings department, the fact that we are our building department, we subcontract services out to various towns. It generates income that virtually offsets the cost of a significant portion of our operation. That doesn't show up on the expenditure side. It shows up on the revenue side, but if someone's simply looking at why do we have additional staff in there, that's why. That's a significant reason. Jim can perhaps get into the details. I forget how many towns we service.
Four besides the town of Bolton. We're covering the town of Andover, town of Ashford, town of Willington, town of Marlborough.
And as I understand it, with the revenues that the towns bring in to us, plus, you know, various savings we have on our side, it is almost a wash.
Building officials are a net zero.
Net zero. So, and that doesn't show up anywhere. You can't, if you look at the budget, you don't see that. That's a significant savings when you look at any other department, they're a one person department. There's no, blending of anything that we could really do. And anything else that's going on, as the chairman noted, some discussions between the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen on some better consolidation and uses of certain things. That's ongoing, but that takes time to implement it. You just see it, and it is, as you said, sir, it doesn't happen overnight. It'll take a good part of this year for what has been discussed on payroll structure, et cetera, to be implemented. And these are long-term cost savings, but they don't happen overnight, and they do require, you know, current staffing to put that into place. So to say that the town has not been working to, you know, become more efficient is a falsehood. And the unfortunate, Amanda, you know, and I don't both know that the internet, that wonderful cesspool of misinformation, is adept at twisting and turning information into anything they want to say, regardless of the truth, regardless of the facts. So these are the facts. Whether you want to hear them or not hear them, so suck it up, look at the facts, and vote on the facts, not on the bullshit that you hear, pardon me, on the internet.
I would just chime in and say, I think there's a couple other examples. We do have a shared assessor with another town, which is a more recent change that the town has undergone. And we also share building and grounds staff across Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen. And I think that only happened a few years back as well. And those were, you know, significant changes trying to build inefficiencies between the town and Board of Ed as well.
Very true. Thank you for bringing that up.
We are always looking for opportunities to share services either with the Board of Ed or with other towns. And, you know, the assessor and the building officials are one example. But, you know, one of the things that's been happening for a very long time is our animal control services with the town of Vernon. You know, that costs us around $7,000 a year for animal control services. It would cost us much more than that. I mean, it would cost, you know, probably close to $60,000 or $80,000 if we had to have an animal control facility and a full-time or even part-time animal control officer. And, you know, we are currently in discussions with the town of Marlboro looking at other opportunities, you know, both for them and for us, you know, to share some services. It's the way that small towns can continue to coexist and, you know, reduce costs and increase efficiency. So, you know, we've built some really great partners with, you know, the towns of Andover and Ashford and Willington and Marlboro. And we continue to look at ways that we can share services so that we both save money and increase efficiency.
I just wanted to put numbers to Bob's comment about building and land use. Last year, the adopted number for revenue for building and land use was $95,000. In the budget for 26, it's $231,000 plus. So just to put numbers to his comment.
Thank you. That's a significant number. Yeah.
Yes, Ashley.
Sure. And then if we were to think about the Board of Ed side, so positions certainly have been removed. And Dave, correct me where I'm wrong, but we did remove a paraprofessional position. We removed an administrator position. And then from a long-term, you know, view of things, while I think it was removed at the end of last year, but certainly has been a longer-term reduction, you know, it was the removal of the dean of students role last year. So those, you know, those are three, you know, positions that we have removed on the Board of Ed side. So certainly have, you know, made cuts there.
Rodden?
In the town's budget, we did carry money to implement the payroll thing in the event that we go forward with it. And if the right cuts come through, we may have to delete that, which would null and void that opportunity. So
when you're saying, could you clarify when you say payroll? You mean our payroll
consolidate
system?
Consolidate the payroll.
Yeah. The payroll services between Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen.
Correct.
And to do
do it.
Right, to have a third party do that. And in order to do that, you have to spend a little bit more up front put the thing in place, and then it is cheaper afterwards.
That's right.
So if we cut the budget too much, then you lose the money that you have to you need to make the savings happen.
We got
to
find the money somewhere.
Yep. And it's true of most savings that you do. There's initial work up front, so you wind up with a slight bump in the expenditures, and then it drops down below what it used to be. And it's just the way that you wind up implementing a lot of types of savings. There's some homework up front, a little extra work you do, and then you put it in place, and then it's cheaper thereafter than it was. And you recognize that
we've been trying to time. Put money away for our portion of what would cost to get water up 44 to bring in business, and that keeps getting pushed out. So there's nothing to say.
So that's the sewage and water project.
The water,
water up 44.
Yeah, we'd have to come up with 20% probably.
And the total cost is approximately
1.2 million.
It really depends on how robust we want to be and how far.
Well, it's just a range, because
it's probably between $3 and $8 million.
So if it's $3 and $8 million, we have to put up what 20% of that. So then that's, if you don't give us the money, like 20%, it's like 200,000, at least 200, 200,000-600,000, whatever.
Yeah. The time comes and the project's laid out, we can't do it.
You can't do it because you don't have the money to put up front get the grant.
And I think to Rodney's point, we did have money set aside in the capital budget that we were starting to save for that, but we reallocated a lot of those funds to reduce the capital budget this year.
Yeah, and so this is also in response to some of the questions that I got, which were about how we dilly-dallied with getting a new business. And so this is an answer to some of those questions by saying that every time we've cut the capital expenditures that would have been used to bring in the new business, you delay bringing in the new business.
Well, at least prepare us to
get the new business or whatever.
So we got a grant for this bridge. We need 20% to cover that.
Yeah.
What do we do? We need the 20%. Somehow.
And so I think that's something that we need to make clear to the public, is that if you want us to keep cutting all of these expenditures at the same time that you're saying that you want new business, you will not get the new business because you're having us cut the expenditures we need to invest in. They're investments. They're not just spending the money like operationally. This is something, an investment in the infrastructure of the town that would bring in business in the future. And so this is what we also have to make clear to folks, is that if you say you want certain things, they cost a certain amount to get, and that's like bringing in business. And if we keep cutting, you're not going to get in the new business that you say that you want.
That applies to Eric Park, which I think we already have money put away for that, right? The soccer field over there. We got another grant for a little project that we need grant match money for. So, it keeps going.
Yeah.
And we're, the Board of Selectmen has made the decision to not apply for some grants simply because, the match money is, it's difficult to come by. Grants are great, but, grants typically don't pay the entire cost.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, again, it gets back to the discussion of, you can be penny wise and pound foolish. You can get a short term benefit for now with lower taxes, but then you lose that later on because you don't have the businesses in that, would have a high capital value that would reduce the residential, effectively reduce the residential taxes. So this is kind of the, it's robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it doesn't really get us anywhere. And some of the stuff too, if we don't have enough reserves and we're not careful about it, we also get a lower bond rating as part of the deal. And then that makes getting future monies expensive, which raises your taxes and makes it harder to get business in, et cetera. So there's this vicious cycle that we're trying to avoid. So any other, discussion, on on this, because I think they're good things to bring up, because I've gotten some of that same, you know, some of that same feedback.
I'd also, you know, just point out that with the Board of Ed budget, I think we're pretty close to like what the minimum, you know, increase would be. I think there was only, I think it was last time I was in the ballpark of like 80,000 I could come off of it. So that's really not, you know, a lot, you know, so that just pushes anything, like Bob was saying, you know, over to the Capitol and Board of Selectmen side, and puts a greater strain.
And again, I think getting back to what you were saying, Amanda, that, and, you know, following up on just Tyler's comments and Bob's and the feedback I've had, it's really the folks are doing things on the Board of Ed side and the Board of Selectmen. We're not getting it out in a way that the public can consume and, you know, appreciate. And so there's the difference between what folks are doing and what is perceived, and the perception that folks have is what is driving the way this budget process is going. So there's something that we need to do collectively to improve, you know, to bring the perception more in alignment with, you know, what is actually being done by the Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen. And if it comes down to some type of communication, and if we keep doing it the way we have been, it's just, we're going to keep being in the same place.
Rhea's got her hand up.
Rhea?
Hi. I just have a comment. I just feel that there's just a certain percentage of people in town that won't vote for a budget. They'll always vote no. And it seems like it's a 500 people that will always vote no. So I just don't, I just think, I don't know how to convince, you know, 100 or so people that we've done every, you know, we really took a hard look, and we have made significant cuts. So if we could talk about those and where we started and where we are now. And I think it's, I don't know if people really understand just that simple. Where were we when we started this process, and how much did we cut from it? And
sorry, Maria. I was going to say, I thought that document that, you know, was put out on the website did a nice job showing on a change based every single referendum what the changes were. But perhaps it just needs to be on one page, so that you don't have to go through all the iterations, you know, of the individual referendum. So perhaps that's the issue. But I do think the information is there.
It's there, but maybe
people aren't getting it.
Yeah,
it's maybe there.
It's got to be very, very simple. And how does it affect me?
So one page.
You know, figure it out. How does it affect you? I know it's been brought up. I'm not saying it hasn't, but I think that's what I when I have the stomach to go on to some of the social websites, I have to take it in small doses. It just seems to me that the loudest people are saying we haven't done any, we haven't cut. And I know what Bob said, that you know, there's disinformation and there's misinformation. I don't know if it's intentional or if it's just misinformation, but
some of it is people don't understand how to do basic research. They listen to each other and say what each other has heard about what the town did, as opposed to going to the source document, which is, you know, on our website. And I will also, let me share my screen, because I want to show you what I experienced when I had some people come up to me. I wound up, you know, wearing two hats as I do, and being careful with the balance I have to work as being chair of finance committee and also one of the registrars. And I will show you our town website, and I will show you what I walked through with some people. And part of the problem is the way the website looks. So let me share my screen for a second. And can folks see my screen? So let me show you. This is our, I'm going to just get, make some things go away here for a second so I can show better. So this is our website. And I sat down with somebody at the polls and he wanted a summary just like what we were talking about. So I said, let me show you. He said, it's right here under budget process information. And I clicked that and he said, see, nothing happened. And I had a number of people tell me that because you look at this and you click on that and all you see is everything stays the same.
It doesn't populate your screen.
The only thing, well, no, it's all down here. It's because we have this huge heading and it doesn't take you anywhere. So all you see is this and people think the page isn't working because you can go up here and I can go over to, you know, something else and my screen may or may not change. And this is what is part of the issue is they don't scroll down. They think it's broken. So there's something that we need to do with the layout of this page because the information is there, but it's sometimes it's hard for them to see. You know, with that heading on there, the way that page is laid, I don't know what we can do with it short, you know, short term, but that's part of the issue. Because when I did show it down there and I did step the person, you know, through this document that Amanda put together, they appreciated that and they understood and they said, okay, I get it. You guys did make a big change from, you know, here, you know, this, what we're doing now to, you know, down here. And I had a couple of folks like that. And so some of it was just their, you know, the lack of ease of getting it, you know, on the website. So I'm going to stop sharing because that's really just what I wanted to show because well, they appreciated it once it was.
Maybe a quick scroll kind of a quicker fix in the meantime, and maybe just to have it when you click that, it, you know, pushes you down to the page, you know, pushes you down the web page to where those links are.
Or a whole brand new page. It just has those on
a new page or
I don't know what's possible because I don't know how this website is, you know, created or anything, but I do know that was, you know, that was an issue.
What if we just put scroll down after, but why did you?
Well, whatever. I'm just saying we don't need to solve it here, but I'm just saying that's something. And once they got there, then they appreciated it.
Yeah.
So there's part of that and it looks simple to us, but then you have to realize like, well, we know what's there because we put it there, but other folks don't. And they just see that part of the screen. That they think it's broken because I'm clicking like crazy and nothing changes. So I can take, you know, take that as an action. We can see what we can do to summarize that document, Rhea, because I think if we can put, you know, what I can do with it and see to get it on one page, you know, at least have an executive summary up front. And if they want to see the details, then they can go and look at the other, you know, one page by page for, you know, each referendum. Any other discussions on this? Again, I think it sounds like we're doing things people are not aware of them is one thing. And we need to do, again, work on that communication. And there's also the point you brought up, Rhea. And I think I have that there's a group who will always vote no, and they are certainly entitled to. It is their right. It is more, and I don't think we will ever change their minds to your point, because they are convinced that there's lots of money out there and there's things that we can do like very quickly to reduce expenses. And I don't think that we're able to change their mindset. And I think we need to just see how you can get more people interested in voting and get more information out to other folks to in a way that's understandable and let them, you know, folks with open minds and they can vote yes or no. But I think we need to get more information out to more people and find some way to get them to vote. Yes, Amanda.
We'll just say the other feedback, which you may have heard as well, Ross, because I heard somebody spoke to the registrars at the polls about it, is that there's this idea that we are hiding money because we do not have line item budgets posted on the website. And so I corrected this misinformation and said that yes, we do have line items budgets posted on the websites, that a line item budget means at the accounting level, which is what we have by account number for both Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen. I think what people are wanting to see is the justification for each line item, which what goes into making that line item. I did tell people that at this point in the budget process, it's kind of a little too late to be asking for such a document, as it may or may not exist at this point, and strongly suggested that, I mean, and now that it's out there, we can take that suggestion for next year, right? But there's this perception that we're hiding something because we don't get down to the granular justification for each budget line item. In some instances we do, right? Depending on the department, some people got into more nuanced detail than others, but generally speaking, that was newer-ish feedback. So I could tell that people were definitely digging into the materials more than they had in the past, but just more a request for even more transparency.
Yes, and I had heard that same comment too, but then that also gets down to when you say more granular, what level do, how far down do you want to go? Because at a certain point, I think it's a good thing to do. And this is more something for us to consider is how deep do you want to go into the weeds with that? Because at a certain point, then it just turns into word soup, because there's screens filled with words and you lose the forest for the trees.
So I think it's mostly around the salaries, wages and salaries. They want to see FTEs and salaries is the what I'm picking up from what's being said.
Okay, because I got the same thing. And it's just a matter of then if it's wages and salaries, then that's org charts and the salaries are public in most cases, or at least, you know, the information is contractual, which is public in some ways too. So,
right.
I mean, certainly we can do that because, okay, like Board of Ed has this many employees. Here's the total payroll. Board of Selectmen, this many. Here's the total payroll. And you have to split that out by benefits as well that folks get, because a lot of time they look at salaries and don't understand, well, there's more than that because you're paying for time off. You're paying insurance and all that other stuff. And that could be 20% or more of what the total compensation is, depending on, you know, the role and whatever agreements there are.
But the budget worksheets for the Board of Selectmen's budget are posted on the website. We can't get much more granular than that.
Yeah. So I guess some of it may be just be a way that how do we put it together in some place for folks?
It's all in that budget.
What I'm saying is we're all in agreement that it's there, but it's somehow people are not seeing it. And whether it's because of how we present it or they just don't know and know where to look, I don't know.
And the one thing they can always do, they can always ask. Call the Selectman's office. They'd be happy to share that data with you, and I'm sure the Board of Ed would as well. And it's there. And, you know, if you look the whole budget process, we go month, I hate to say this, but we go month upon month about putting this together. And all this data is laid out in a book about that thick. And it's there.
And for those of you who didn't see, that thick is about three inches, as indicated by Mr. Morris' hand, and Rodney is holding the binder up.
But and you're not going to consolidate that into a simple form. It's there. The information is there. It requires some work. But if you're just curious about, you know, what the salaries are, it's simply call them, and I'm sure either the Board of Ed side or Board of Select will be happy to provide you with that information. It's there. You can ask for it. And this way you get the right information.
For I think both for the Board of Ed and for the town, anybody who's under a union contract, their salaries are posted.
Right.
Everybody's salaries are.
Yeah. And whether or not they can find them or not, but regardless of that, they can ask. And the information is public information and it will be shared.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
And maybe again, it's just something that we want some org charts just done for Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen. I know that's something that you've mentioned, Amanda, and that could just simply be a click on the website as well.
Well, one point I'd like to make is Rhea had mentioned it's the 100 vote difference. And in reality, it's 50 no votes. If you switch those over to yes, that's a two-vote switch. So we're 50 votes off. We can get rid of the no.
You need a simple majority of one.
Yeah, right. And we as selectmen and any person that's on a board, we're not allowed to try to sway any information to vote yes or no. We only put the information out, and then it's up to the public, or if you find advocates who want to get people to vote no or vote yes, then you're more than welcome to. But we are just acting as good stewards of the town. We're not trying to put money away. There's no benefit to us. And we don't want to see our town workers driving around in rust buckets. The town employees are all great people, and it takes, they get paid well, and that's why they stay, and that's why we have a great workforce.
And just a second, what, you know, Rodney said, it goes for the Board of Ed as well as the, you know, Board of Selectmen's budget. And I just, you know, and just again, the importance of having a good, safe place for the workers to be in, as the registrars and the finance department worked in a condemned building for about 2 years, and the public was not allowed in there. We had signs up on the door for the public to stay out. And yet we, you know, the registrars and the finance department, you know, worked in there. And that was the old Bolton School that is now in the process of being torn down. And again, that is a symbol of when we cannot work together with our voters to have them understand why you have to put money in things or they fall apart. And, you know, it's like, you just need to spend the money to have a safe, healthy place for people to work. We just can't keep doing, you know, this kind of stuff.
And the number of forms that the state makes a town fill out is just totally incredible. I think you had to fill one out to how many hours the guys work on side of the roads, right? Or something.
That's a new one. We weren't even told that we had to do this before we had to do it.
Well, this comes down to mandates that we have to do by this, both the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Ed. It's like there's a lot of federal and state mandates that are not funded that people look at like, well, why do you have somebody doing that? Well, it's because we're required to by law, and it doesn't make sense if you look at it without understanding. Still doesn't make sense necessarily afterwards, but you don't understand the reason for it if you don't know. And maybe that's something we need to communicate better, is there's a large amount of what we do as public employees is driven by the state and federal governments, and we don't have any direct control over that. This comes to, you have to influence the legislators to go and change things. And maybe that's something we need to make clearer too, is what is mandated?
Yeah.
How much of our budgets are mandates that we have absolutely no control over? And if you cut everything else, you still have to do this. And then guess what? You don't have a quality of life left because you've gotten rid of everything except what's, you know, mandated.
The school board side is heavily impacted by that.
So
you can ask anyone in the system from a teacher up, and they can tell you that a significant portion of what they do and how they do it is regulated. It has nothing to do with, quite frankly, as a former educator, has nothing to do with what's good education, what works best for the children. It's what the legislature has put together and deemed you should do or not do, or yeah, through their state Board of Ed. But here we go. I don't need to go down that rabbit hole.
Well, you just saved David from having to say it all. And then he doesn't get any flack, or he doesn't get any praise for it either. any other things?
It's that severe, as you state, being an educator for 42 years. There are lots of regulations and standards, but there's the flexibility of the art to reach your students. And I believe I've seen it in Bolton very well, because the teachers have been able to take the standards and the regulations and then blend them with really good teaching and interactions with the students in their charge. So I understand what you're saying, and yes, the regulations, there have been many have come down the pike that really I did not agree with, and but it's not that severe as you say. In my from my perspective.
Yeah, and I'm not making a comment whether they're good or bad. I'm just making the comment that they're there. And I agree that a lot of them are necessary. But again, I think it's just something folks either have a misperception of or just don't understand. And we should let them, some way to let them know. Because it's like I think, again, there's a lot of stuff we take for granted because we have to do this for a living. And I mean, I learned a lot, like coming into the finance role and also as a registrar about all these, you know, there's certain things you just have to do in government that you don't do in other aspects of life. And people who are not involved in the process just, you know, it's not a fault on their part. They don't understand. And sometimes we take it for granted and don't explain it to them or don't know why they haven't figured it out by osmosis somehow, all this stuff that we took years to really get to understand. So,
Roy,
anything else?
What? Yeah, from what I see in the Amanda's history, referendum history, is that we went from a 12.65 increase down.
When you said 12.65, are you talking, just for the record, mills, percentage, what are you referring to and in reference to what?
Yes, yes. Sorry. To a 3.63.
So that's the actual increase in taxes is what you're saying? I just want to know which number you're...
No, that was increased. The last number. The last number on each referendum. It's under compared to effective mill rate used to calculate returned excess value. Isn't that what that means?
So in red, that's the effective mill rate. So we're taking the new one that was being proposed. Mm-hmm. To the affected 30.84, mm-hmm. That's in red. So the increase in mills was 1.12, and the percentage was an increase of 3.63.
Right.
That's exactly. to the effective one, not the adopted one. That's why we put it in red.
Yeah, so that's why I wanted to just make clear what you're referring to, because we have two reference points, the adopted mill rate and the effective, or what the mill rate should have been if we had the correct information up front.
Right. So it's what I'm trying to get at is like that's where you can see how much it's been decreased since we started the process. It decreased a lot.
There's
from the adopted mill rate, yes.
Yes. And I think there's almost one point. There's a combination of budget reductions and realized revenue. It's almost $1.2 million. If I just do a quick add, don't quote me on the exact number, but that's the amount that has been used by which to reduce the, you know, the mill rate.
So
it looks like she's adding it up, so we have an exact 1.5 million roughly.
Yeah.
Has been either reduced in actual cuts to next year's budget or reduced from surplus revenues being, you know, recognized for the next year unofficial, you know, unofficial revenues being recognized for next year. So
or unused budget.
Unused budget.
And the $63,000 we took from the health insurance fund.
Yeah. So there's been a substantial movement, like I said, $1.5 million applied to reduce the mill rate.
And now from the 1,500,000, you have another 35,000. Is it, did that include the 35,000?
What
No.
35,000 are you referring?
I think you talked about the one I was suggesting.
Yes.
No, that's not into it. It's not in the numbers anywhere. That would be a that if that 35 would be a new a recognition of a new revenue that
but you assume, we can, but you assume
some of that. Yes,
you
it's already assumed.
Some of that.
We assume that the revenue.
I don't have that exact
number. Well, but we're assuming that that's a minimum. That's a number of.
Think so, Bob, because I think we assumed that when we looked at what did we think we were getting an additional interest income for the rest of the year that was included.
All right, maybe well then let me.
So I don't think.
I don't think you could count it. I don't think it would be safe to count it.
Okay.
No, I don't think it's safe to count because we already counted it.
We did.
In our earlier.
That was my thought. I wasn't sure if we had or hadn't.
I wasn't sure where you were going. So
no, no, that's why. If we hadn't, I wanted to. But.
No, that 35 was already accounted for because we just made a guesstimate that would be in around 30 or so.
I misunderstood what you said. I apologize.
Right. Ross said a number earlier, a few minutes
Okay.
What he thought we were going to get, and it was under that amount, but we did a they or did assume a higher number than
got
had in there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay, so that's not that we can't use that to cut.
No, because there's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
Right. We already effectively applied it earlier.
Yeah.
That's fine. I just clarification. And then so what can like just let's just take a percentage. What percentage? Let's start with something like a percentage. What do you want to, how much can we reasonably cut?
So that's a good question because you can cut anywhere from, we have to cut something. We can cut probably another 200,000 from the Board of Ed if we chose to leave about 0.5% there. And then if then after you did that, everything else that anybody wanted cut, and if we went along with it, would come out of the Board of Selectmen's budget.
You'd have to 171 we could cut from capital.
Yeah, I was going to go there too, Joe.
Right, to hit that 1 mil number.
Yeah, I would prefer to start with Kappa, bring that down, and that's all I would suggest, but open to other stuffs.
And then I would also suggest we, if you want to talk about Kappa, that we be very careful with it, because then you get into, is it being something that's getting just shoved off down the future and you make a bigger mess for us to deal with down the road than we have now, because that's also a risk.
Is there anything we can cut?
Well, you have to be careful because you're 20%
that's where you're getting with that number we can go down another 170.
Right, only by the 1 mil. But that doesn't mean it's good.
I don't know what we. If
the only
cutting any different capital is the purpose.
The only item left on there, and I don't recall that my book is in my car. That's in the shop, so I don't have the number, but. There was a, and I hate to do this, was the electric, the battery-powered tool for the fire department, I think 36,000.
Which also Bruce had mentioned, Chief Dixon had mentioned that that was also replacing some older equipment that was 20, 25 years old.
Oh, yeah.
That they can't repair anymore, so.
It's antique. Yeah, I mean.
So
that's the only small item there. And again, you're talking about a safety issue. I don't know how you can take that out. All the other issues, as we talked about earlier, a significant number is a match to the 1.4 million.
So we applied for a $1.7 million grant, of which the state is funding approximately $1.5 million.
Right.
Because otherwise, we're going to have a bridge that's going to fail, and we're going to close the road.
Exactly.
At some point in the future.
So we have $170,000 in that budget.
So we put
for that. There's that number right there.
We put half the match in for this year and half the match in for next year.
Right.
And we put the engineering costs into that.
And as Mr. Chairman said earlier, you know, you don't do that, if you don't spend 170, you lose $1.5 million.
Right.
And that's like, that's a no-brainer. Pardon me?
And it comes back later.
It comes back later and more expensive, there's no doubt.
But what you need to realize, what's in capital reserve is the payments for the module building that registrars. We can't cut that. You have to pay it. You have to pay for the excavator. That's in there. There are things that you just can't cut because the
air handling system for the school is also, you know, that's another public safety health issue.
Yeah.
So there's nothing there, quite frankly. And when you look at this thing, there isn't a significant cut that you can make on anybody's side without having
So I'm looking up here with the.
Oh, you got it up?
Yeah, I got the capital improvement. It's on my own computer. And so I'm looking at, we have the HVAC assessment for Board of Ed, 6,000. Put money in for that. That's for center school. You have another 6,000 for the high school. And this is for planning ahead. We're putting the money in, 6,000 bucks a year for when it has to, you know, occur in the future. Then we have their phase two energy management system, 410,000. And then you have the district utility plus. That's the one that we decided to fix to try to
make it clear. If you look at the very front, well, second page, or no, third page, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's an asterisk that says near the cuts for the selectmen that they have not decided, and the selectmen have to vote, even though the finance committee made up this capital reserve information. The final, once this budget is all adopted, once the referendum passes, the selectmen have to go back and they have to vote on that. It has to be voted every single cut for the selectmen. The Board of Ed, if they haven't voted on their cuts, they would have to do the same. And then it all comes to me to prepare the final document. But those numbers stay in there until the final, until the selectmen vote on those cuts. I mean, so Jim or selectmen that are on the board have suggested cuts that the selectmen will vote on, but it's not set in stone yet. So just so you know, they stay in there until the final vote from the selectmen and the Board of Ed. I don't know where exactly they're going to make those cuts. There were suggestions, but that's why those numbers are in red below the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Education. Until they're voted on, we can't do, I can't do anything with them. So just to clear that up, those numbers are going to stay in there until the selectmen vote. I know it's confusing, but they haven't voted. It's not legal.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you go through it, and I'm just trying to make the point that I don't see anything in there that's flopped. They're required things like the HVAC assessments mandated by the state again. And then the other things they're all related to safety or maintenance of our buildings. And if you don't maintain the buildings, like the, you know, roofs and things like that, you wind up with more expenses in the future. So I just don't really see what you're able to really cut with these things, you know, from a capital perspective, and, you know, and not pay for it more later. I think we have to have the discussion. That's my own personal opinion. We'll throw it out for what other folks think, since, you know, we did bring it up to talk about it.
Well, I concur. I mean, we all our discussions early on support what you just said. Yeah, Pennywise, Tom Foolish, and that's where we are. And so Rhea asked, or someone asked, all right, where do we go from here? Well, I don't feel that we can go forward with any significant reductions, period. And I've been in the budget process for a hell of a long time, and that's not a big deal. But the fact is, I know the results of over reduction of a budget, and that the impact is not followed the next year, it's followed the next 3 years. It takes at least that long or budgets to recover from significant cuts over and above what they need to operate. That's just, that's because number one, your grand list doesn't increase big enough anymore. You're not having large developments of any type anywhere. Simply not happening. And so you put that all together, my recommendation would be a simple 5 and 15 reductions. 5 from the Board of Selectmen, 15 from the Board of Ed. That's it. That's my, I bring it up for discussion. Obviously not.
It's not very popular discussion.
No, no, yes, no.
You're not making a motion.
No, I'm not. I'm just bringing that up for a thought.
Because we are obligated to make some cut, even if it's only like a dollar or so.
Right.
And again, I just am hesitant to encourage folks to make cuts just because people are demanding it who are not involved in the budget process and don't really understand what the consequences of what they're asking will be.
How much have we, Ross, how much have we spent so far on referendums?
They're about $7,000 each because of some new expenses we have from the new company that's providing the programming for the machines. So it's
Did about seven. Oh, so right now we're up to 28,000, right?
Yep. And you'll have another one if you want to lob off.
Oh, yeah, we have one. So that's 35. Yes.
7 times 4 is 28. And then if you do another, it's going to be $35,000. So that's got to be taken into account when people think of what they're saving.
Can I have an excuse for just a minute? I have to. Sir, respond to a call. I think literally,
all right.
Don't continue the discussion.
Yeah, in terms of discussion, I'm fully aligned with Bob. That's where my head's at. Whether it's $15,000, you know, from Board of Ed, it's really just a nominal cut. And then perhaps if we're able to summarize it in a more condensed fashion that people could really wrap their head around and understand, perhaps that will allow people to digest the information a bit better and appreciate that we truly have had meaningful cuts, in the budget cycle.
And then I think we would also, to follow up on what you're saying, is that we should have some meeting like we did the couple, was it a 2 or 3 weeks ago, with the public again, just to go over all this, because we did get some good turnout. And I got good feedback and that the people appreciated that. So definitely going to have some communication around this. Tyler, your thoughts? I know you're writing away as our scribe.
My thoughts on all of this really is starting on the communication side, that, you know, that's a big one. I think that's something we need to start working on, like, now for next year, you know, as well as this year. But we really need to, you know, start planning and having, you know, everything just kind of more digestible. I know it is a lot of information, and, you know, but we need to be able to synthesize it for the townspeople to be able to easily digest it. And it needs to be, I think it needs to be hit like, on a more, with like a more of a marketing approach. I know there was discussion about using some of the, I think, the email of the town on the school servers, things like that, or that some people in certain positions can post things on Facebook and things like that. I kind of think we need to figure out, or maybe have, something maybe that I could, you know, devote some time to, but have kind of a more of a focused and like kind of a marketing mindset and, how we disseminate information. So that being the big, on the communication side, and then in terms of the, of what we're cutting here, I also agree. I mean, I don't think there's a lot here, and I see a lot on, Facebook, people are like, oh, we want to see, people trim the fat. Like, I mean, this is a very skinny budget, and I'm in agreement that, making some of these severe cuts is going to really hurt us 2, 3, 5 years down the line. And the same people that are unhappy are going to be much more unhappy. So rather than trying to please people who aren't going to be happy either way, we got to do it right for the town. And I'm thinking you were saying 5 and 15. I think somewhere in that ballpark's fine, a nominal amount.
Amanda, your thoughts?
I'm in general agreement with what folks have said.
Maria?
I am as well.
And Ashley?
Yes. Yep.
Do you want to make a motion then, sir?
I make a motion to reduce the town budget by $5,000.
In the Board of Selectmen.
The Board of Selectmen budget, beg your pardon. And the school board budget by 15 for a total of 20,000.
So moved.
So we have a motion by Bob and seconded by Ashley to reduce Board of Selectmen 5K, and then you said Board of Ed 15?
Yes.
Total of 20. Do I hear any further discussion? All right. Ask all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? So the motion passes unanimously by all voting members. Just a note to Tyler that I'm not a voting member. So then that's our action. And so then the ballot question should be, let me go and get that out so I can take care of that. So if we reduce the budget, where the heck did that, there it is. So 15, 20, what are we taking out? 20,000?
20,000.
So then the correct amount for the new question should be 26,371,000. Let me read the whole question. So the question would be, shall the budget for the town of Bolton for the fiscal year 2026 as recommended by the Finance Committee in the amount of 26,371,962 be adopted? So I would entertain a motion to that effect.
Absolutely.
So motion made by Bob Mora. Do I have a second on that?
I'll second. Rhea.
That Rhea seconded that. So any further discussion? Then I say all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention. So motion passes unanimously by all voting members present. So I will sign that and give that to whoever I'm supposed to give it to at this moment, to
town clerk.
Mm-hmm. And we will go ahead from there. So then discussion, then the next item on here is discussion, should the budget not pass again?
Can we set a meeting date?
Now we can include that in that discussion. I just want to go through on the order on here since it is a special meeting.
Ross, sorry to interrupt. I have to drop. Will that cause an issue? Will we have enough of a majority?
Yeah, we're all set with a quorum.
Okay. Thank you.
So you could just note that Ashley left at 9:12.
Sorry about
Thank
that.
Thank you, Ashley. See you.
Thank you.
And
before the staff has changed the heading on the budget,
yeah,
they put a little note saying to click and scroll down.
Yep,
very clear now.
Oh, they just did?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Good. So any discussion what we want to do again. So one is we're going to have to meet again. The next vote would be on the, so I'm going to combine the discussion of C and D because they're related. Yeah. So our next meeting, the next referendum would be July 29th. So then we should meet again on the 30th,
yep,
which is the Wednesday. 29th is a Tuesday.
Yeah. Motion again.
Well, let me see what time Rodney has. You have the calendar there, or
sorry,
the referendum date's already been approved out into September.
Oh, this is we're already meeting, right?
The 30th.
Yeah, that's what we can ask.
So we can do morning, afternoon,
whatever. Yeah, morning and afternoon would
work. Just to get this over with.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure our floor meeting is the 30th.
Yeah.
July 30th.
July 30th, Wednesday.
There's a, you talking any morning? Or
and whatever matter? Whatever works.
Yeah, it's like I have another meeting on the evening sewer authority.
Where does the sewer authority meet? Here?
It's town hall.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's a, yeah, so there's a concert down at the Green, but other than that, whatever you think.
Well, can we do morning?
Let's do the morning. I haven't had a chance to go to any of these concerts.
Okay, maybe. But we can do, it's actually not here, but 8 o'clock work. I don't know about anybody else.
No.
We can do 8:30 when the town hall's already open. That'll work.
Either way.
Pardon me?
It only screwed up my hair.
Okay. 8:30 would be a little easier for me.
So it's okay. 8:30.
Oh, by the way,
gives me a half hour more sleep.
On the side, I'd like to congratulate Amanda on her arrival of her new son. Congratulations, Mom, and I hope you're getting some rest.
Trying, thanks.
And the other thing that I would just like to publicly recognize is Jim Aldrich for going and sunproofing our polling location.
Yes.
Because when we, as registered, switching hats for a moment, when we did our last election, referendum, sorry, on the 24th, it was 94 degrees in our polling location with matching humidity, and we had a worker get heat exhaustion, and Jim Aldrich volunteered and just went and sunproofed all of the windows at his own expense. So I just want to, publicly thank him for that, because the temperature stayed at 81 most of the time, the last time, and also again thank the Board of Selectmen for getting us some air conditioning as well to help keep the temperature down. So between that, we kept the temperature at like 81 degrees for most of the day. Also, Jim Aldrich provided some industrial quality capacity fans too to help circulate the air. So we did keep the temperature down to 81 degrees most of the day. It crept up to about 88 at the end of the day, just because that building, like all of them, soak up heat and there's nothing you can do about it. But then it was time to open the doors because it was colder outside than in. So we just blew the air through, but it made a huge difference.
And we want to thank Riedel Hall for the continued support of letting us use it.
And thank also St. Morris for letting us use their Parish Center for voting. They get no money from the town for doing this. They're doing it as good citizens. And also a tip of the hat to Bolton Congregational Church, because they're the backup polling location if something goes wrong at Riedel Hall, the Parish Center, for whatever reason, we can't use it. So it's nice to have, town organizations step up that have, the space in addition to the schools, again, thanks to the schools too, because they also provide polling locations and have to change their schedules around for that too. So anyway, does it sound like we want to do 8:30 on the 30th? Okay, so I have a motion then.
Awesome.
So a motion by Bob Moore that our next meeting of the Finance Committee special meeting will be June 30th at 8:30 in the morning. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Tyler. Any further discussion? Then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes unanimously by voting members present. So I don't know what else we want to talk about on what, you know, if the budget doesn't pass again, we can save that for next time, because I think we've already had a pretty good discussion. So new business, let's go on to that, which is consider and possibly act on a temporary, mill rate. So did Jill, question for you, does this change anything substantially, like the 20,000 we took off?
It's going to be a prime. I'm doing it on my phone, so I'm going to tell you it's going to be approximately, the mill rate would be 31.92.
So it sounds like it would be prudent to set the temporary mill rate at 31.92, because it doesn't sound like we're going to be able to go really any lower, and we need to start getting tax revenue in. So why don't I entertain a motion to set it at 31.92, and then we can discuss.
Awesome.
So a motion made to set temporary mill rate at 31.92 mil. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Tyler. And discussion.
I would say the town staff would rather be in a position to send out a second billing than to return funds. So
absolutely.
I'm concerned that setting a mill rate at what the cuts would represent. I think you may want to consider going a little lower than that, so that in the event that the budget doesn't pass on the next referendum, you still have a little wiggle room, because again, that's a lot easier to send out a supplemental billing than it is to return funds.
So how does this affect getting revenue in? Because I heard that we need to also consider that.
So
My recommendation would be to set the mill rate at somewhere near your reference mill rate for last year.
Which would be around 31 mils.
Right.
I think, if I recall, we had this discussion a couple of times in the past, that we were actually looking at that as a temporary, something in that range. And I'm sorry that I forgot that when I made my motion.
No, that's why we won't have the discussion.
Okay.
There's nothing to apologize. We're just having the discussion about
right.
it.
Right. And part of our earlier discussion, even because our tax collector was here, and in our discussion, she mentioned that it would be it's far better for us to have to do a supplemental and do the reverse. So I think it probably would be prudent.
So significantly less costly.
And also less cost? That I didn't realize that. Okay. Oh, you're right. It would be. Because you have to give money back. Oh, forget it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to withdraw my motion. Want to withdraw your second?
Sure.
Okay. And instead, I would use, I'm thinking about using just 31 mils, which is, 0.16 higher than what the working one was last time, which is effectively the same thing. And if we have to modify it up, in all candor, I can't see us modifying it down at all. So
no, I'd say that we either will come back to this or
right.
All probably
right.
Come back to this next time.
Yeah. All right. Then I'll move that our temporary mill rate be 31.
I'll second. This is Amanda.
So you, Amanda. Motion made by Bob Morris, seconded by Amanda Gordon, to set mill rate at 30, temporary mill rate at 31 mil. Any further discussion? Then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Maria, did you? You're muted.
I see her.
Okay.
Aye.
Then Abstentions and nays, none. So motion passes unanimously by all voting members present. Under new business, there's no mill rate to act on because we just set a temporary one. So then we can entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Do I have a second? So motion made by Bob and seconded by Tyler to adjourn at 9:23. So see you guys in 2 weeks.
Thank you, okay. Everybody.
Yeah.